Welcome to the Pouncecast. My name is Matt Mendel, and on today's edition of the Pouncecast, being joined by a Milwaukee Panther men's basketball legend, Hall of Famer, TV analyst for Panther men's basketball, Joa Tucker. And let's start with the here and now and put your TV analyst hat on for a second, watching this Panther men's basketball team from this past winter, 20 wins, 15 losses. Your assessment of the way the season went?
First, I want to say thanks for having me on this pod, man. I'm really excited to be here, excited to kind of hear some past interviews as well. In terms of what the season, you know, how the season went, really excited about the trajectory of our program under Coach Bart Lundy. I've been involved in many facets of the program. I don't know that I've ever been a part of a, you know, part of a team or part of a program or even anything sports where I was more invested. I'm pretty far invested, almost like I was playing. I don't think I've been invested in something more that I wasn't actually on the team. So really excited about the future, really excited about, you know, all the young men, and really just talking to Chris about how, you know, losing in the championship can really kind of foster some really tough workouts and some things that really push you to move forward and be better going forward. So I'm really excited about all the guys coming back and the future guys coming in. I think our program is in good hands. I think in the past years, I told myself I wanted to get more involved. I wasn't excited about what our program looked like. So I wanted to get more involved, and I think I've done just that by being more involved and kind of getting some things done. So it's been exciting, but really excited about the program going forward.
I like the word you use, the excitement, because you're right. The energy level is there. The focus is there for fan base. They're re-energized, and we'll talk about that as we go along. Yep. But you look at the Horizon League tournament run, and you were part of the broadcast, the win against Detroit Mercy, the knocking off Green Bay, knocking off Northern Kentucky, fell in the championship game against Oakland. From what you saw firsthand, what made that team such a tough out in the Horizon League tournament?
I think we had really good players. I think chemistry was a thing maybe we worked on kind of throughout the season. I think we got a, you know, good chemistry. And I think it's, you know, a common goal. Guys really wanted to win. Guys really wanted to go to the tournament. I think to start the year, and I think this is with all teams, especially with this whole NIL deal and transferring of building a basically a new team almost every year. Especially with it being coach's second year, it's tough to kind of get a core group of guys in. And obviously, we brought a pretty good core in from last year. But then you add, you know, some new pieces and some pieces that are expected to make a substantial impact. It kind of hurts that chemistry. So I think we got that dialed in late in the year, and we were a deep team. I think coach's staff has done a really good job of recruiting. I think in some past years, and never to, you know, kind of crap on years, you know, in past, but I think he's gotten a better grade of recruits. I think he's gotten some guys that are a little better, you know, a little more talented. I don't know that we've had a player of B.J. Freeman's stature in a couple of years. I remember Jordan Aaron being a really good player. I know that there were a lot of players in between, but I think those players were just really special players. And I was part of the coaching staff to hire Coach Lundy, part of the hiring committee, and kind of hearing what coaches thought, you know, kind of going through the process of things that they thought. And a lot of them said, and I was kind of surprised, is no matter how good your game plan is, you're nothing without talent. And I was kind of surprised to hear people admit that. But obviously, we know that to be, you know that to be true. You can have a great system, and if you don't have, you know, many good players, then it's not going to work very well. But again, I think we competed. I caught all those games. I did the Detroit game. I went up to Green Bay, and then I went down to, you know, I went to the tournament. I didn't go to the third game. I went to the championship game, so I got a chance to see it. And I think I caught about 95% of the game. So this group battled. I think it starts with, you know, coach putting together a great coaching staff. I think the players respect the coaches. I think coach gives them freedom to play freely and play pretty loose, which I think you get a more positive positive result from kids, especially kids these days when they have some freedom to play and they're not looking over their shoulder about getting snatched out of the game. But again, I just think we really competed and really had a ultimate goal of making the tournament, and that's kind of the result we saw.
One of the names you mentioned was B.J. Freeman. Yep. Of course, he's entering the transfer portal, maybe the NBA draft. We'll have to wait and see. But how good was he in his 2 years with the Panthers?
B.J. Freeman was incredible. Obviously, we're sitting in an office where there are records kept and a lot of the record books, and I know that he was able to put his name and really cement his legacy here at UWM in terms of some of the things he was able to do. Obviously, he had a lot of success in the Horizon League tournament. He had a lot of success scoring the basketball. I think when you look at pure scoring, BJ Freeman will be one of the best players to ever come through UWM. So I'm a fan, and what I've told people is once I get to talking to these players and develop relationships, I'm somebody that connects with people. When I connect with you, then we're kind of connected like we're friends. So to see a guy like that leave the program, it's obviously tough. But obviously there are, you know, other things calling and other opportunities for him. And no matter what, in these situations, it's all about, advancing yourself and doing what's right for your brand and for your family. So obviously we send them off with well wishes and the whole nine. But he was incredible while he was here. Really has a great knack to score the basketball.
And what's scary about a guy like that is I know he felt disrespected being second team all Horizon League this past season, but he used that as motivation. And boy, did he, if he had to prove himself, I don't think he had to, but if he had to, he certainly did in the Horizon League tournament.
I think that I'd be hard-pressed to find five guys in the Horizon League better than BJ Freeman. I don't know if it had something to do with, him being injured and him missing some games. maybe the people who call it just, kind of saw something a little bit different. Maybe we didn't achieve as a team kind of where they thought we would achieve. But I think, if you've seen the Michael Jordan documentary, he took a lot of things personal. He found a lot of things to get fired up about. And get angry about and use it in a workout. So I talked to BJ 2 or 3 days ago, and I just let him know, at the next level, wherever he goes, whether it be the NBA or, going on to another school, obviously you get rewarded for the hard work you've done. And I just told him you have to remain, with that huge chip on your shoulder. That's what makes you special. You can't get into a situation where you go to a bigger school and they're telling you how great you are and you know that you've had some success here. You scored 1,000 points. You did really well in the tournament. And then you kind of rest on your laurels and say, oh, I'm a good player now. I've arrived. I think what makes him really tough is the chip that maybe he didn't have the scholarship offers coming out of high school. Maybe he was overlooked. Maybe he didn't have all the opportunities. So I think that's what makes him special. So I hope he continues to play with that chip on his shoulder and be upset that, things don't happen the right way. And again, I think that it ends up happening positive sometime. If that can propel him again. I think we lost my sophomore year. We lost to UIC and went to the NIT. And if we win that game, we maybe don't make the run that we made after that because, we were furious that entire summer. And I know for sure that fueled our workout. And I talked to a lot of the guys about that exact same thing, about really letting the anger and the hurt of losing in that game just fuel their workouts, moving forward.
Obviously, BJ Freeman drew a lot of the attention, but you look at the cast around him. Eric Pratt, you bring in a guy like Eric from Texas A&M. He finished second on the team in scoring. Loved the team when it came to three-point makes. What did you see from Eric in his first year with the Panthers?
Obviously, Eric Pratt coming over from, I believe, Texas A&M.
Correct,
yep. He had an up-and-down season. I think Eric Pratt is a guy that has all the potential in the world. Really like him. And again, he's another one of the kids, two or three of the guys I've really kind of developed a closer relationship with. I think he's got potential through the roof. Obviously, being at a school like Texas A&M, someone saw some potential in him for him to be at a high major. But I think he's another guy who obviously played really well when BJ didn't play and showed some of that explosiveness and his scoring ability. And I know that a lot of times you have teams, even you look at the Bucks now, you have Dame Lillard, Giannis, and Middleton, and it almost seems like they all can't play great on the same night. And maybe that's because you can't get a rhythm, you can't get a feel. So I really look for him to take huge strides this summer. I think coming in and playing, I don't think he played a ton at Texas A&M. So this was kind of his get back year to kind of get his sea legs and the whole nine. So I think that he'll know what to expect in terms of the atmosphere, in terms of where he's playing, where he's practicing, what coach is like, and all those things. And I look for him to make great strides coming into, his I believe what will be his senior year. And it's tough to keep up with some of these guys' years with COVID and red shirts and the whole nine. But I believe that this will be his last year. So I hope that he goes out with a bang and really, kind of really fills those shoes that BJ is going to leave, unfilled.
Did you see that same potential guy like Kentrell Pullian, who at one point scored 20-plus points in 4 consecutive games?
KP, these guys, and again, because I watch so many games, I'm a super fan at this point. I do the games. I'm a season ticket holder. I get to be around the guys with some of the NIL stuff that I do. So KP is I get a little confused by some of these guys. Sometimes he's so good, And then sometimes he's a little more quiet. So you develop a standard for him. So I say, okay, KP should be at this level. And sometime when he doesn't get there, I wonder, you know, what's the difference in a game where he's so explosive and he's so good. And then sometime he's a little quieter. But again, I think KP's another guy. I know he's a great guy in the program. I know he's a great voice in the locker room. And I know that he'll also have a very good year. I think I expected him and Elijah to have bigger jumps from Bart Lundy's first year to year two. And I think if they look at their years number wise, they were pretty similar from their first year in the program to their second year in the program. So I would imagine that those guys looking in the mirror, honestly, would want to have a bigger jump going into year two. And again, I tell all the guys, it's all about summer work. It's all about summer work. When you go into the season, you typically don't improve too much as an individual. Typically, you kind of, if your shot is pretty good, that's kind of where it stays. You kind of work within the team. There's not a ton of individual work within the season. You're working on developing as a team. So if you're trying to make a big stride in who you are as a player, typically that's summer workout. So I hope all these guys really have phenomenal summers and just, kick their own butts and get their butts kicked by the weight room and by the individual type work and all of that. And they come back with, more stuff in their bag.
The final player I want to bring up is Faison Fields, yep. Just his inside presence.
Yep.
He's relentless when it comes to scoring, rebounding. That 16-point, 16-rebound semifinal against Northern Kentucky, how dominant can he be on the inside?
I mean, I think if you just look at Faison Fields' stats from the second half of the season, I think that that's where he wants to be. And what I told him is you got a chance to see what the guy who won, the finals MVP – or the tournament MVP and also the regular season MVP, I think that's an easy place to set your goal. He was dominant. The kid from Oakland was dominant. He was tough. And his moves weren't super complicated. I don't think he was obviously a really, really good player, but he was just tough. He went over his left shoulder almost exclusively. He rebounded. He made shots. He made plays for the team. And he was able to take his team to the tournament and get all those individual awards. So if you want to see where you want to go, and what it looks like, I don't think it's that hard because you got the chance to see him in the in the championship game in terms of how he kept his body, how he shot free throws. Obviously, Faison Fields is a guy who has a great touch from the free throw line, so he's obviously not far off from there. But I think if you can really see a tangible thing, as in the big kid from Oakland, it's easy to see what you need to work on. I think Faison Fields is a kid who will benefit a ton from gaining the confidence of how he played later in the year or the second half of the year, and I think that he builds on that and comes back. I know he was somebody who was devastated by our loss. And again, I just look at that, and I hope to see from the devastation I saw, I hope to see him in game one where I can say, okay, he took that devastation, he took that heart, and took that hurt and really put that in summer workouts, and he's improved a ton, and we won't have that problem next year of getting stopped in the championship.
When you talk to these players, how receptive are they, hearing from you, someone that's been there and done that?
I don't know. I talk a lot. I have a lot to say because I think I'm in a situation where I've seen it. I've lived it. I've done it. And I think that, I'm 41 at this point. These guys are 20 years old, so I'm pretty much double their age. So I don't know if my words mean anything. I don't shy away from telling them at all because I do tell them I got a chance to talk to a lot of these guys after the season. And I think that obviously as you get older, wisdom is a thing. And the reason I can tell them that is because I've been in their shoes. And what I tell all the young men when I start talking to them is I want nothing from you. The only thing I want to do is I want to see you successful. I want to see you successful as an individual, student, and athlete. And then I also want to see, the team do well. So in terms of anything outside of that, I want nothing. So all this advice is just only to better you. It's nothing to benefit myself. So if they can know I'm coming from that point, I hope they wouldn't think I'm wasting my time, telling them all these things. But again, when I watch the game, I think I could tell all the players what they need to improve on. I told Faison, you got to work on your lower body strength. He's got a lot of talent. He was able to do some things, but I don't know if he was able to always sustain that. And sometimes he's not always able to stay on the floor. So when he looks back and if he's honest about his year, he'll, point out a few things that he wants to work on. I've seen it. I watched it all year. A kid like Lyric Davis is a kid from Milwaukee, tremendous athletic ability. I don't think he finished well at the rim. He went away from contact often. And I think as he gets stronger, that contact. He'll start to absorb that contact and understand he can go through it, and then he'll make the jump. So it's a lot of things as a former player that I see that I went through myself. It's easy to point out for someone else. So
I want to go back to something we touched on at the beginning, and that's just the feeling around this program. Over the last couple of years or so, there just seems to be an energy, a different energy, a new spark, new life, and Bart Lundy has brought that into this program. How excited are you about where this program is headed? I know you touched on it a little bit, but just looking at it, okay, yeah, I lost in the tournament championship game, but just how excited are you about the progress this program has made, you know, in Coach Lundy's first year to year two to what could be in year three?
Well, I think I've told people I would fully expect us to make a tournament run. I said, you know, obviously you can't promise anything, but I've told people in the first 5 years of Lundy being here, I expect us to make at least one tournament run. And that's kind of where I've kind of set the standard. And I think once we get there again, obviously this program has only been in tournament four times. I think once we can get to number five, I think, you know, kind of the ball starts rolling for that. But I always think about trajectory. So I think we lost in the semis last year. We were one of the last four teams. We lost to Cleveland State and Indy. And then this year we make the championship. And obviously, in a perfect world, the natural progression is winning that game. But I think when you know, I think our Panther fans were starved a little bit. And again, Coach Baldwin was here last. I think Coach Baldwin is a great guy. LaBelle Jordan was here before him, and he was, you know, pretty much in and out. But I think the Panther fans were so starved for this to happen when you get someone who feels like he can put it together. And I think being part of the hiring committee, I think there's so many phases and so many things it takes to be a good basketball coach. And it's not just X's and O's. You got to hire a good staff. You got to know where you're recruiting. You got to bring in good players. You got to run good systems. There's so many things that you have to put in that potion to be a winner. And I think being on a hiring committee, I said I had a lot of coaches in my career. I played at Bradley my first year. I played for Coach Pearl, you know, throughout my career. And then I played for Coach Jeter, and I was recruited by Bo Ryan. So I've seen enough coaches to where I know what I feel like as a player works. And then not only what works as a player, but then also what equates to wins in the W column and also what relates to losses in the W column, I mean, in the loss column. So I think the trajectory of this program is really good. I think Bart has some really good energy, not only within the school, but also in the community. I think one part of that post that I'm talking about is being visible. I think Coach Lundy and his family live pretty close to the campus. I think they're pretty accessible and they try to get out in the community. I know with some of the NIL stuff that I'm doing, we're getting the guys out in the community and meeting some people and shaking some hands and doing all that type of stuff. So I think if I had personally, I had 10 boxes to check for things that I wanted from the coach, the coaching staff and the team in order to be successful, I think we've checked a lot of those boxes. Obviously, making a tournament is a very big box, but I think that, you know, you're not going to win every year, but I think it's about competing. And I think in these 2 years that he's been there, the program has been back to a respectable point. And I think we're competing where every year we're a threat. I think this year we're a legitimate threat to go to the tournament. I think last year we were a legitimate threat. The last four teams I played last year, I don't feel like any of those teams were better than us. I think it was an experience thing. We lost to Cleveland State. I don't think Cleveland State was a better team than us, and obviously I'm probably somewhat biased, but I don't think they're a better team than us just in terms of what's on paper. I think they had more experience. There's a kid that plays on Cleveland State. I think his name is Tay. He kicked our butt. He kicked our butt, and he had been there before. You could tell he had some experience. He had played in some big games, and from the opening tip, he just said, I'm not losing this game. I'm more physical. I'm tougher. That's how he felt, and that came through in the game. So I think the team is in a good space, good system, good coaching staff, good recruits, and obviously when you bring good recruits in, you're able to get more recruits in. People will look at and be able to see what BJ was able to do during his time here, and players that, you know, have also come through, the Ahmad Rands and these players that have now left the program and gone on to do some, you know, some other things. So then when a player sees that happen, then he can say, okay, I can step in and be in those shoes. So I think it's positive for the future of the program.
Well, you definitely hear around here a lot, in Bart we trust. Mm-hmm. And you're part of that hiring committee.
Yep.
And it would seem like you guys got it right.
Yep, absolutely.
When did you realize he is our guy? During that whole process, was it early on? Did it take a little bit? Mm-hmm. When did you realize this guy is our guy?
Well, I was really impressed with a lot of the things that he said in the hiring process. And again, I kind of got my eyes open to what I told people is like, it's kind of like seeing behind the veil. Like there are so many things that I didn't know and how the process worked. But I think that one thing he said that was impressive was he said he wants to recruit pros. He wants to recruit guys that want to go to the next level. And what he said by that is, when you recruit guys like that, then I'm going to hold you to a different standard. If you tell me you want to be a pro, then you can't be the first guy out of the gym. It doesn't, you know, you can't tell me you want something and then every day you're the first guy to leave and the last guy there. So, you know, that doesn't work. So I thought that that was impressive. I think he told me another thing was, you know, the relationship between player and coach is give and take. You know, I think I played for coaches where the coach just really wanted you to be good in the system and wasn't so much concerned about your individual development. And I think that as a player, I want to go on and play professional basketball. I want to have a chance to play professional basketball. So I want to develop as a player, just not within your system, and be good in that way. So he said it's a give and take. You know, I want you to be good, but I also want you to be good in my system. But it can be 50-50. It doesn't have to be all my way or all your way. So that was impressive. He told me that he thought he had responsibility to the community in Milwaukee as the coach of the Milwaukee Panthers. We are the community's team. So he felt like he had some responsibility with the things that go on in the community. And I was really blown away by that, because a lot of times, you know, you have 10 things that you're supposed to do as a coach. And I don't think every coach that comes in would say that that was part of their job requirement. So I've told people in the past, you know, a lot of times when you do business deals, and I would consider hiring him a business deal, you know, as you talk about something, you sit in a room, you talk about something unofficially, you know, the line kind of starts, you know, at zero, and they say all these fantastic things. And then when it comes time to sign the paperwork, sometime the line is kind of shifted a little bit and it's a little less than what they said. And then when you get the actual product, now the line is shifted a little bit more, because now they're a little more comfortable. They have a little more leverage. But I think what I heard, you know, Bart say, all the things I heard him say in the hiring process, the line has stayed exactly where it was from what he said to what he executed to obviously when he was a coach. So I'm pretty excited about that. But we got through a lot of coaches, but I liked Lundy right away. There was probably, you know, one other guy that I liked, but obviously having Lundy here and having this relationship with him is special. And I wouldn't be as involved if I wasn't all in on a coach. You know, I just believe in his philosophy. I like the way he operates. I believe he's a player's coach. I believe he brings in good talent. I think he allows his coaches to be, you know, to do their job. So I'm all in 100% on the coach. And again, no disrespect to any other coach that was here, but I can't say I was all in on, after seeing, you know, the product or what they brought to the table. I can't say I was all in on, you know, what they did. And again, I think every coach that comes through this process, every coach that's come through Milwaukee, I think are awesome people. But I think you have to separate the person and the art at some point. So I like what Bart's doing.
And, of course, one of the other hats you wear, we talked about, is being the analyst on the TV broadcast on ESPN Plus for the home dates with Wayne Larrivee.
Yep.
How did that opportunity come about, and what's been the biggest challenge to being an analyst on a Panther broadcast?
Obviously, Wayne Larrivee is a legend. So to have the opportunity to do the games is phenomenal. Obviously, Chris is a guy who, you know, gave me a call and gave me the opportunity. So something I'm really excited about every year. I mean, I sit at home and do it for free, you know, and it's just something I enjoy doing. I love watching sports. Obviously, the Panthers are close to my heart, so it's pretty easy to do for me. It's pretty much a natural progression. I think I have to study on the other teams, but in terms of studying for our guys, there's no studying to be done because I know it already. So it's just really fun. Obviously, you know, I'm a season ticket holder, so I typically pay to come to the game. So I always joke around and say, well, I usually pay to come here, and now I'm being paid to watch the game. So obviously I was going to be here. So it's a ton of fun. And obviously to work with Wayne Larrivee is, you know, really easy because he's a pro's pro and he's done it for a really long time. But I think we've developed a lot of chemistry while we do it, because I think he kind of thought I was kind of coming in as like a celebrity analyst, but I'm serious about it. I'm a pro and I'm doing something. I put my name on something. You know, I'm coming in, I'm researched, and sometimes I throw some things out there. He's like, and I can tell he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I studied. I'm not, you know, I'm serious about this. And if I'm going to be doing it, I take the craft serious. So it's a ton of fun. I really enjoy it.
Were you more nervous during that Sweet 16 run in 2005? Or sit next to Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers, doing Panther basketball?
You know what? When you play, you don't get nervous. You know, you're just in the moment. So typically, you know, you don't get nervous. Maybe before a game, you kind of have some jitters. But I think that playing basketball is something that's come natural to me. I've been playing for a really long time. So when you get to the point of the Sweet 16, it's like, we're here. We've worked hard. I believe in my work ethic. I believe in the system. I believe in my teammates. So I can't say I had a lot of nerves at that time. And I think doing the broadcast, I don't really think I had a lot of nerves because, you know, you interview in front of cameras. There's some things as a player, as an athlete, you just kind of get used to. So when you go, I'm going to talk to some kids on Thursday at a school, and I think it's like 100 kids. And my mom just asked me, are you nervous? I'm like, no, it's just, you know, it's kind of part of my DNA of doing that, you know, just talking in front of people and being in front of cameras, and not saying that it's just, you know, easy, but it's just something I enjoy. I think if it was subject matter that I didn't know, if they came in and asked me to talk about something that I wasn't very familiar with, I would maybe have some nerves. But even doing this interview, there's no nerve. I'm just talking about, you know, things I know. So it's just, it just ends up being fun.
You went to Nicolet High School. Yep. As you mentioned earlier, you started off at Bradley.
Yep.
Eventually came to Milwaukee. How did the opportunity come about to come back to Milwaukee and be a Panther?
Almost a funny story. So, you know, some of the same reasons I left are some of the same reasons I came home. You know, you leave because you want to get away from home. You leave because you want to see something new and all those things. And then you come back for all the opposite reasons. You want to be close to home. You want to know some things familiar. So I went to Bradley. Came in with a tremendous starting five class. I played with a guy named Danny Granger that played decade plus in the league. So when I got to Bradley, Bradley was a really small school. And obviously going into college as a college senior, I'm the first scholarship athlete almost in my family. I can't even think of anyone else that played, you know, on a full ride scholarship for sports. So going in as a senior, you know nothing. You know, you don't know what to ask. Like now, obviously, now that I played, you want to know who's playing in front of you. You want to know the style of play. You want to know the conference. You want to know all those things. So I went to Bradley. Bradley was in the Missouri Valley, really good conference. And I didn't want to come to UWM because I played here in high school and I just really wanted to see something different. So I got to Bradley. The coach got fired that year. We were awful. I think we won 10 games. So I was part of a – it's not fun winning 10 games. We had a pretty good team. We had no bigs. You can't play in college without bigs. And obviously we were in the Missouri Valley at this time, Creighton, and a lot of really good teams are in the Valley. And you can't compete without some bigs. So we were terrible. And then I got an opportunity. Pearl was here, and he kind of started this, you know, this – reviving the program after what Bo did. Bo Ryan came in and did. Pearl came in and kind of used that same momentum to keep the program going. So he was getting to a point of like where Lundy is right now, where it's, you know, the program's getting a little more respectable and getting a little bit better of a name. So there was an opportunity to come home. And I think when you transfer, especially at that time where you have to sit out a year, you got to get it right. So I knew that if I was transferring, it had to be a situation where I could count that it was going to work out. And it's you figure out the business of basketball as you're going through it. When I was at Bradley, I was talking to the coach that recruited me. His name was Coach Biancalana. And I told him I was transferring. I had a bad experience my freshman year. The coach told me I was going to start. And I started probably 85% of the games, but he wouldn't play me at the end of the game. So if you can't play at the end of the game, he had some guys that he really trusted and he really liked. So if you can start, that's great. But if you're not playing when it matters, then that's not that fun. But again, it was just kind of a disaster of a year. But I wanted to transfer and I wanted to get it right. But I'm talking to my coach, Biancalana, who recruited me at Bradley. And he says, you know, what are you going to do next year? I'm like, coach, I'm transferring. I think you should know that I'm leaving. He's like, well, you know, where are you going to go? I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. You know, I have no clue where I'm going to go. But I've been playing at UWM, you know, when I'm home. He's like, oh, that's a violation. I'm like, what? He's like, that's a violation. They're tampering with you. I'm like, coach, I'm a college basketball player. I'm at home. It's 15 minutes from my house. I'm trying to stay sharp and play with college guys. He's like, oh, no, that's a violation. So when I came back to UWM, they wouldn't release me out of my scholarship. So I had to pay my way my sophomore year. And I was actually going to go to Wisconsin with Coach Jeter and those guys. So Bo Ryan recruited me at UWM, and they left and went to Wisconsin. So I think they must have been here they must have left my freshman year because Pearl came in. So they recruited me during high school, and then my freshman year of college is their first year at Wisconsin. So I just connected with whoever I knew. So I called the guys at Wisconsin, hey, I'm looking at transferring, whatever, you know, whatever that may be. And we were setting that up, but I couldn't get a scholarship to Wisconsin because they wouldn't release me out of my scholarship. And obviously, that's the business of sports. I didn't know you couldn't be released. I didn't know that was a thing. And I didn't have the funds to pay for Wisconsin, but I did have the funds to pay for UWM. So I ended up at UWM, and obviously, you know, the rest is history, and I wouldn't change it for the world. So, you know, kind of pretty interesting. Another thing, I was just sharing this with my guys. Gene Katie came to my house. So I signed my scholarship before my senior year of high school. And Gene Katie came to my house, met with my parents, and he told me that he was going to, they were looking to get a hometown kid. And if they couldn't sign him, they would offer me a scholarship. The next day I signed with Bradley. I was pissed. I'm like, I'm second option. Oh, okay. Well, I got seven scholarship offers on the table. I'm going to take one of those. And little did I know, you know, second option at Purdue is better than, you know, anything. So, you know, it's a lot of things that you learn along the way that are pretty interesting and obviously fun facts at this time, because again, I wouldn't take Purdue or Wisconsin over my UWM experience.
No, it all worked out. Yep. In 3 years, 68 victories, 26 defeats. You mentioned the NIT, and then all of a sudden it built to the back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances.
Yep.
Well over 1,400 points during your time, number of accolades, two-time first-team All-Horizon League, MVP of the 2005 Horizon League Championship. I don't want to gloss over your career. I know we're up against the clock.
For sure.
And I invite people to look you up if they don't know a lot Absolutely. About your background and
yep.
all over the media guy, the record book. But when you look back at your time, you started all 94 games you played in your Panther career.
Yep.
What are you most proud of in your accomplishments and in your time spent as a Milwaukee Panther?
I mean, obviously, you look at the Sweet 16, I think that what that propelled the program to do, what that propelled the school to do, the notoriety they got the school. But I think when I look back overall, man, I would say the brotherhood I built with my teammates, man, to this day, you know, 20 years later, I'm talking about some guys that I'm forever brothers with. There's a kid that played with there was an HBC school in the tournament this year. I think they're in the 68. I think he played for Hampton, possibly. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but either way, after the tournament, he's doing a press conference, and he basically said, the brotherhood you build with the guys is, you know, it's like one like no other, and it's because you kind of have a common goal, and sometimes, you know, you may have coworkers or something like that, but when you're in the trenches with a guy, the bonds that you build because you see what guys are like when they're tired, they're hungry, they're angry, they're mad, they're hurt, you know, you're in the trenches, you're in a foxhole, and you build like a bond that just can't be broken. So I would say when I look back at UWM, I gained a ton of brothers during our time, and it was because we had a common goal and we were able to achieve those goals, you know, kind of through hard work. So when I look at UWM, I look at the family I gained. That's what I'd be most proud of.
And you find yourself in the Hall of Fame as of 2014. I want to ask you real quick. I know you played some pro ball overseas.
Yep.
You played in the ABA in Milwaukee when
yep.
they had the blast back mm-hmm. in the day.
Yep.
But I also read that you were a member of the Harlem Globetrotters at one point.
For sure, for sure. So I get this question pretty often, man. So the Harlem Globetrotters have a show team. That's the guys that do all the tricks. And then they have a competitive team. So I signed with an agent right after I finished up with school. So I signed with D-Wade's agent. He was D-Wade's agent. And actually, he passed. Now, Hank Thomas was his name. He was D-Wade's agent and Devin Harris's agent. Super cool guy, great agency, and what they want to do is they want to get you playing some basketball. So they got me right after my senior year. I went to work out with those guys, and I mean, there are two lessons that I'll never forget. So he got me an opportunity to make some money right away, so I played on their competitive team. So the first day I get to practice, there's a guy shooting, and he's literally not missing. He's practicing by him, you know, somebody's rebounding for him. And I remember thinking, I'm like, man, you're not missing. He's like, well, JT, let me tell you. He's like, I'm a professional. He's like, and if I miss shots, I don't get paid. And that just kind of opened my eyes of the transition from being a college player and really playing for fun and then being a professional and doing it to feed your family. He's like, I got a family to feed. Like, I got to make shots. And that was kind of like my aha moment of, okay, you're no longer an amateur playing for fun. You're playing to put food on the table. And then also the founder of the Harlem Globetrotters' son gave us a pep talk before one of our games. And he talked about, obviously, how the Harlem Globetrotters were started. And there was a time where blacks couldn't play with whites. And they're all that whole time period. And he gave us a story. And I just never forget, you know, going out for that game and just kind of playing with some deeper purpose. And, it, you know, it's a history that I didn't know at all. So those two stories with the Harlem Globetrotters. And I only probably spent probably 3 weeks with them, but it was my first gig getting paid. And, you know, those guys get paid pretty good. So it was my first opportunity to get paid, and it was my first opportunity to work out with professional athletes and kind of get my first taste of what it's like to make that transition to being a pro. So that's a kind of cool experience I'll never forget.
Just finally then, for you, what are you up to these days outside of your association with Panther basketball?
I'm a busy guy. I wear a lot of hats. So I started investing in real estate during my career. So the market kind of crashed 2008, 2009 during that time. So I started playing professional ball when I left. So I played in France for 6 years. Able to make some pretty decent money during that time. And obviously cash is always king, and it was especially king during this time. Banks owned a ton of property that they didn't want. So I kind of started a niche of buying foreclosed and distressed property. So my main hat, or the main thing that I do in terms of my profession, my career, is I do residential and commercial real estate. So my family and I own some properties, and we're kind of one-stop shop. We manage, develop, purchase, invest, kind of all things real estate. So that's kind of, you know, the first thing I do. And then I've gotten into some other businesses that have kind of gotten some opportunities to do some other things. I have some city contracts with the city of Milwaukee. So I maintain some property for the city of Milwaukee. Right now I'm in the first year of a 5-year deal with them. And I actually was able to get another contract. So I have two contracts with the city of Milwaukee. So that ends up kind of being my second thing. And then I'm invested into some bars and restaurants in the area that I've gotten, you know, truly fortunate to have the opportunity to do so. I stay pretty busy. I was just telling Chris, I'm in the process of opening a lounge right now. I'm going to be hitting them up to get some memorabilia that I can get on the wall and really kind of celebrate the time and how special it was, you know, while I was here. I definitely want to put that. I went to a class the other day kind of talking about marketing, and they're talking about making your space, you know, individual to yourself. And I think that that'll always be something cool. I have a vision of putting something on the wall of that sold out arena. I think that if I could look back and look at something else, you know, as a special time, it'd be that sold out arena, Panther Arena, of getting down there during a tournament. So I definitely want that picture to hang on the wall.
Well, that's great stuff. Joel, as always, I appreciate your time. Absolutely. All the best with everything.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
That's Joel Tucker, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Pounce Cast.